This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie, rocking out here with Kevin Wagner from NOAA.
A rocking agency.
That's right.
Keeps us from flying into the rocks.
And hopefully keeps the rocks out of our pockets.
Okay, I'm not even going there on that one.
Don't you know what rocks in your pockets do? They keep you on the ground, you silly man.
It sounds like a band name, Rocks in Your Pockets.
Anyway,
Weather Forecast Office. That's what you do.
Correct.
So tell
yeah.
us about the latest in prognostication equipment. The rock outside the window?
I was thinking the weather Ouija board.
We do have a weather rock at our office as a joke.
Right.
But definitely we're more reliable on models and forecasting and big computer systems at our office. Plus the radar, satellite. We keep seeing more satellites go up and we get better picture, better resolution with it as they go up. So we just had the GOES 18 just launched not too long ago. So it's been real revolutionary in our forecasting. You can easily see clouds, much faster updates. They used to be back when I started in 2016, updates were like 15 minutes. Now they can get up to 5 minutes, even 1 minute, even 30 seconds, depending on how we have it positioned over the day. So
nice. Very nice.
I was going to say, you guys have been very busy lately, what with forest fires and all the heavy weather that's
been down south. They don't forecast the forest fires.
No, but the weather forecasts undoubtedly are affected by the forest fires.
Definitely. And we also have, we do fire weather forecasts, especially for Wisconsin, but we also have a program called the IMET program, where we actually deploy meteorologists when there are large incident fires across the country. We have one at our office down in Milwaukee, Sullivan. She's been sent out to Montana last year, and we haven't sent her out this year, but there's a bunch of different ones across the country that go out for the higher fire weather, the bigger ones out there.
Yeah, so we're just getting into fire weather now.
And you know what I love, and of course this is television's interpretation of weather, is the hurricane models.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 5 out of 6 models think, but then there's always one model where it's like going the opposite direction. It's like, I don't understand that. Don't you think all these models would behave similarly?
You think that, but you know that as we get it more advanced, more supercomputers, we can do more simulations. There's actually one model that would run 100 different simulations. And so now we're actually getting much, much more data. So we have to kind of pick and choose which one we're actually looking at. And they're recently ensemble data. So you're kind of taking all the models that look like one direction, one that's taking it the other direction, and kind of put them together and get an overall average and kind of giving you looking at multiple models, but in one picture. So it's really been interesting.
You know what I can see happening here? All the guys in the forecast office, all right, I got $20 on model 3. No, I got $20 on the European model.
Well, your thought is pretty close to mine, because I'm figuring that what's happening is you get a bunch of these forecasters, and they're throwing darts at a dartboard, and that's how they determine it.
Okay, I'm a GA pilot. What do I want to know? What do I need to know from weather? What are you going to do for me? That's what I want to know.
So at our office, at all the 122 offices across the country, we do the tasks for the local airports. So we're more of the localized kind of forecast. So we do, at our office in Milwaukee Sullivan, we have Milwaukee, Madison, Sheboygan, Fond du Lac, and Janesville, and Kenosha. So we do the tasks for those offices. And then there's 5 other offices across Wisconsin that handle the other ones, like Green Bay, Manitowoc here, Eau Claire, Rhinelander, all those other ones come. So we're doing the forecast, kind of a point forecast for those offices. In between there, we have higher up the Aviation Weather Center, so they're part of NOAA as well, and they kind of fill in the gaps as people are flying. So we're more focused on the exact location of taking off and landing. And
right.
So we definitely do the wind speeds, clouds, and try our best to see when the rains come in and when the wind speeds are changing, directions, and all that.
And you'll also issue SIGMETs when it's necessary.
That comes from the Aviation Weather Center. So they're the ones that kind of doing those. And then we also have the Center Weather Service units that are also providing support for the regional area. So I think the one from up here is down in Chicago, and they cover this area. There's one up in Minneapolis as well, Indianapolis, and kind of scattered throughout the country as well.
The weather, way more complicated than it looks.
Oh, most definitely,
honestly. And, you know, and the thing about it being is the first thing we all do when the weather goes south is we're sitting there complaining to the weatherman because it's convenient.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that go into it, a lot of factors, little things that if one thing is off in our forecast, you know, could take it a whole different direction. So, and, you know, what we have the satellites, the radar, all our observations, those are good and plenty, but we really need a lot more, and we just can't feasibly do that. You know, it's just if we can have more observations throughout the whole atmosphere, we'd have a better picture of everything. But
on that note, do you guys take note of Pyreps?
Yes.
So you love Pyreps too.
What would make the difference with observations? Is it an equipment problem? Is it a cash flow problem?
Yeah, the weather just doesn't want to be observed.
Well, it's constantly changing. The atmosphere is a fluid, so if the more observations that we have, the more up-to-date data we can get into our models, the more better the start points that they can do, so and they can kind of better predict. But, you know, there's like again, there's different schemes, there's different little things that go into the models that change things up. So it's really just overall, it's just hard to capture the whole environment as a whole.
Well, the one thing I've noticed with weather forecasting, especially like 5 days and stuff, is they will say that we're going to get rain on Friday, and it jumps a day. I've seen it advance like that quite a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's definitely a lot of little factors that go into it. You know, the storm speeding up, the storm slowing down. There's something that kind of blocked the storm or something that prevented it. Previous night storms may have slowed things down. So there's a lot of little factors that go into it, and trying to pick out which one's going to affect it is really kind of hard. And that's why, you know, we have all these different weather models. You know, we're trying to see which one's going to best handle it. But there's some that work better than others. There's some that handle better situations than others. So it's really just kind of piecing together which is the best based on current observations.
And the one forecast that give you the biggest fits are anything involving severe weather, like tornadoes, heavy thunderstorms, that kind of stuff.
Severe weather and winter weather around here in Wisconsin tend to be the hardest ones for us because, you know, again, there's, you know, are we going to get that moisture? Are we going to get that heat? Or is clouds going to come in that day and kind of stop everything from kind of coming through? Or, you know, with the winter, you know, are we going to get that higher moisture? Is it going to be a little bit drier? Because all that goes into effect on how much snowfall and rain we actually get. So,
how often do you update the terminal forecasts?
We have to do them every 6 hours, but we do supplementary updates every 3 hours. And if things are kind of going a little bit different than the forecast, you know, we can easily update them as we see fit. So we're constantly monitoring them. You know, we have a little thing on our computer that shows up that lights up like a Christmas tree, you know, different colors. Red is bad, green is good. So,
right, like if you get pop-up storms, which happen a lot in the summertime.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we try our best to add that in there. But, you know, again, there's a multitude of factors that go into it that may affect it, you know, especially being along Lake Michigan, the lake breeze really affects things. So kind of picking out times when that happens.
Now let's interpret what they're telling us. When you say the word significant chance of, is that like, oh no, it's definitely going to happen, or it doesn't really look like it's going to happen?
It, you know,
it's 50%, 75%.
So the 50%, you know, it's probability of precip. You know, the 50% is a pretty good chance of it happening. 20%, you know, it's more pop up, isolated stuff. That 30 to 40, it's going to be a little bit more scattered. But when you get to that 50, 60, 70, up to 100%, you know, we have pretty high confidence that it's actually going to see something somewhere in that area.
Well, I'm going to take exception to that because he and I took a motorcycle trip. 30% chance of rain. And how many did we run into going down and
back? We got soaked three times on the ride down.
But it stopped, so it was scattered.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You were kind of hitting hitting them all right.
The one philosophy says, is it a 30% chance of rain? Or a 30% chance, or no, 100% chance of rain along 30% of your route.
Oh, no, that rain knew exactly where we were at all times.
Yes, it did.
I think you guys just steered into it, maybe.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We definitely, I'll tell you what, when you're on a motorcycle, rain hurts at 70 miles an hour.
Yes, it does.
Definitely.
Anyway, that's neither here nor there.
Right.
But it's way over there. So, let's see what else.
But still, even with the best models, the best computers, the best observation,
and a lot of quarters,
there's still a lot going on there that you can't accurately predict. It's all, you know, it's an educated guess.
Definitely. Yeah, it's, again, we're trying to piece together. The more observations, the better. But, you know, the Earth is mostly water. You know, we don't have a lot of observations out over the ocean. The best thing is the satellites. You know, we're getting increasingly more data from satellites, and that's kind of going into our models, so it's really helping.
So as a pilot, you've got tons of resources out there to determine if the weather is going to be good, bad, or ugly along your route of travel, what to expect in the next, say, 12 to 24 hours, and even, you know, the possibility of severe weather in the way, and what kind of severe weather. Hail with an airplane is bad, very bad.
Hail with anything is very bad.
Yeah, well, you guys get serious hail out here, not like we're in Pennsylvania. If we get, you know, pea-sized or dime-sized hail, that's very, very rare.
Yeah, we definitely – we had an event earlier this summer that had just hail, a storm that just sat over the area just north of our office where a couple people live, and it just dumped hail, golf ball-sized hail for half hour. So.
Oh, that wow. just beat up a lot of things.
Oh, yeah. The roofs are all getting replaced in that town. So.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen pictures of hail as big as a hard ball. Which is what, 3 inches across or a little more?
Oh, yeah. The largest one is actually closer to the size of a volleyball, close to 7 inches.
Oh, my goodness.
So that was found out in Vivian, South Dakota. It was actually after it melted a little bit, so it might have been actually a little bit bigger. But that was the largest one recorded in the United States.
Yeah, an umbrella is really not going to help you much there.
Tell you what, a steel roof wouldn't help you.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that actually went through the roof.
Yeah, that's probably the only reason they found it.
So where can we find you?
Our office or online, we can find us at weather.gov. You can also find us the Aviation Weather Center. You can find them there. We have our local forecast in our office. But our office is located actually between Milwaukee and Madison in a small town of Sullivan.
And you have a booth here too, I'm assuming.
Yeah, so we're at the federal pavilion with all the federal agencies out there.
You guys hiring? I mean, what about? We need weathermen, right?
Yes. So we're all, you know, there's bids that go out. You start off at the lower levels. After a 4-year education, some people go on to get a master's degree for 2 years. Some actually have PhDs. But for the most part, you just need a base 4-level location from accredited university for a meteorology program or atmospheric science.
Okay.
So definitely check out USA Jobs if you're interested. If you're interested and still in high school or interested in just kind of figuring out more about the program, feel free to reach out to any of your local National Weather Service offices. One of the big things that we actually do outside of forecasting is outreach. So meeting with students, meeting with teachers, whoever's interested, and just kind of educating them as well.
Very good. Very good.
Sounds
well,
good.
I want to thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
This is Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie, and this is EAA Radio.